the confession of sin along with the assurance of pardon come from the same psalm. Let us confess our sins to God in prayer. We'll pray alongside King David from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 9. Let us pray. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. The next verses of the psalm serve as our assurance of pardon, verses 10 through 17. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. And now let us stand and sing, Glory to be the Father. Before we start our scripture readings and our prayer, I wanted to share a little bit about what we will be doing. You'll see in your bulletin a song called Stay With Me. It's a simple Tizay song that is sung in monasteries, and the choir will sing it once through right after the prayer of illumination, for illumination, and then each reading will read, and then we'll sing it after each scripture reading. That way you all can find out how it's sung. The choir will help us. It's a simple song. I think it's a powerful song. And it just has a few words, but I think it's also a nice way to reflect on our scripture reading. Let us pray as we prepare our hearts for our scripture reading. O God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 19. Let us listen to the word of God. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, Where are you? He said. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, Who told you that you were naked? "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face and you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading is from Isaiah 58, 1 through 12. Let us listen to the word of God. "Shout and do not hold back. Lift your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were motioned a nation, a practiced righteous, and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgment. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast days and oppress all of your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and fight and strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do will not make your voice heard on high. It's such the fast I choose, a day to humble oneself. Is it to blow down the head like a bushel and to lie in a sackcloth and ash? Will you call this a fast day and acceptable to the Lord? Is it not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every house? When you see the naked, it is not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless into your house. Then when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hid your face from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and healing shall upspring quickly. Your vindictor shall go before you. The glory of God shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom shall be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continuously and satisfies your need and perched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up to the fountains of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of breach. Restore the streets to live in. This is the word of the God for the people.
Our gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. Let us listen again to the word of God. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. And truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The word of the Lord for the people of God. If you've ever been to Lincoln's New Salem, you've probably seen ash hoppers. Children would carry the wood ash from their fires to these hoppers, and when they were full, they would run water through the ash, which created lye, potassium hydroxide. If they needed the lye to be a bit stronger, they would boil some of the water off. Then they added a little bit of oil to the lye, and stirring it slowly and putting it right at the right temperature, they would create lye soap. In fact, I bought a bar of lye soap when I visited Lincoln's New Salem many months ago, so you could see what it looks like. It looks far from ash. Now, they don't really make lye soap anymore. It's just not the way we have soap these days. It's quite an old process, but on Ash Wednesday, when we're talking about our own mortality, lye soap is quite theologically significant. It's created from ash, which is dirty and a waste product. It seems pretty insignificant, but with the right mixture and temperature, it creates something that cleanses us. If you remember, many times in the Old Testament, we read how people used to put ash on to signify mourning and humility and penitence. In a time of national crisis, Mordecai tears his clothes, he puts on sackcloth and ash, and all fast, all weep, and all wail, showing their intense grief and distress. Jonah declares to Nineveh that God will destroy them for their wickedness. Yet all the Ninevites, including the king, adorn sackcloth and ash. It's a public sign of repentance and humility before God. God sees their hearts, the change in them. A humble change of heart represented by sackcloth and ash, causing God to relent, and instead of destruction, God shows mercy. And we just read in Genesis about Adam and Eve. After having disobeyed God by eating from the tree of life, they no longer live forever. And God tells them that they are dust, and to dust they shall return. And from this moment on, we must recognize our imperfections, our failings, our sin, and our mortality. We make mistakes, and we should offer penitence to God and our neighbor. We should confess our sins, recognize that in the scheme of things, we're just dust. While we're created in God's image, our sin and our mortality remind us that without God, we're simply ash. It's certainly not something we aspire to look to or like to point out. We're people who hurt and who are grieved. We experience pain and loss. I heard someone tell me she was anxious about falling in love. She was worried that the man she was dating would not want her because she was broken. Her parents abandoned her as a baby, and she was put in the foster care system. She was adopted at a young age. She married young, too, at 17, and divorced a year later. And now in her 30s, she was looking for love, but she was worried that if her boyfriend knew about her history, if she shared all the struggles and the parts of her that were broken, would he still want to be with her? Now, the reality is, according to Genesis, we discover that we're all broken. In some way or other, we taste humanity all too often. When we look in the mirror, we see someone who's 20 years younger. It doesn't take much to remind us that we're frailer than we think. And too often we find ourselves hurting those we love or being hurt by others. We certainly mess up all the time, and others mess up too. And as much as we don't want to go there, we realize that we're dust. We're ash. Now that's why lye soap is such a good metaphor. Lye soap cannot become soap without lye, and the way you get lye, at least the old-fashioned way, is through ash. So the moment we recognize that we're ash is the moment that we can be cleansed. When we recognize our humanity and recognize who God is and that we are not God, that we're dust, that we're ash, is the moment that we can let Christ in. And out of the waste and insignificance comes cleansing. Out of death comes life. And the journey we begin today toward the cross, this journey for 40 days in Lent, we are reminded that Christ, who's innocently crucified, 3 days after his death, he rises and defeats death. Christ is created from the dust, and he returns to the dust. Christ became ash, and then out of the ash, he is raised and he cleanses. And Christ's cleansing is like no other. If we have faith, if we believe, if we accept the love of Christ, that God loves us despite our brokenness, God accepts our imperfections. And God provides a way through Jesus Christ to cleanse us, allowing us as ash to be made new and to live with God forever. And today we begin the journey to the cross by putting ash on our head. We recognize our humanity and our brokenness. And in a few moments, each of us will come forward and you'll receive ash and you'll hear the words, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." And I encourage you to reply by saying, "Praise be to God," or "Amen."